Let us pray. Teach us your way that we may walk in your truth. Give us undivided hearts that we may fear your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, I'd be grateful if you could turn back to our reading, Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 to 10. In 2017, Eddie Hall achieved his lifelong dream of becoming the world's strongest man. The final event of the competition is called Atlas Stones. Competitors have to lift five heavy stones, each weighing between 150 and 210 kilograms, and place them on a platform. Just the year before, Eddie Hall set a new world record with a deadlift of 500 kilograms. To put that in perspective, that's more than the weight of a grand piano or an adult polar bear. When Eddie Hall appeared on television, he memorably bench-pressed the BBC Breakfast presenter Dan Walker. Even at the best of times, life is full of heavy stones that we have to lift. The weight of paying the mortgage, or caring for children, or elderly relatives, or ill health. COVID-19 has given us more stones to carry. The stone of isolation. The stone of having to work from home. The stone of adjusting to teaching your children at home. The stone of worrying about getting sick. The weight threatens to crush us. Our passage from Galatians shows us that if we're Christians, life isn't the world's strongest man competition. We don't have to carry the weight alone. Paul shows us first the burdens that we must share. He helps us have the right attitude to make that possible, and he gives us a couple of examples. And then secondly, he shows us the harvest we will reap, which will motivate us to keep on going. So first, the burdens we must share. And we're looking at verses 1 to 6. Let me read again from verse 2. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfil the law of Christ. We need each other. You are strong in ways that I am not, and I need you to help me carry things that I cannot bear on my own. And there are things that you cannot carry that I can. That is true anyway, but it is especially true during times like this. The law of Christ is what Paul refers to back in chapter 5, verse 14. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbour as yourself. Paul calls it the law of Christ because in John's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." And we do that by carrying each other's burdens. That's one of the reasons why church is so important. We need each other to help us carry the burdens we bear. The burdens that we cannot carry on our own. For that we need to know each other and the burdens that we each carry. And when all this is over, we need to meet together again. It's hard to bear each other's burdens when we're isolated, but we can find ways of doing it. It may be the burden of not knowing how to parent your children in a godly way when you haven't had them at home for such a long time before. You need someone's help. It may be the burden of needing something like some groceries or supplies, but you can't get out. It may be the burden of doubt when you see this terrible virus spreading throughout the world, people dying, and you need answers to your questions. And carrying each other's burdens might involve giving someone a telephone call or joining in with an online group to listen to people, to find out what burdens they are carrying, to pray together. It might involve a trip to the shops to get someone what they need. One of the things that can get in the way of carrying each other's burdens is pride. We can think that we're too important to carry other people's burdens and get involved in their problems. In verse 3, Paul says this: "If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. We have all broken God's law, and we're only accepted by God because Jesus died on the cross to save us. We are not too important to help other people with their burdens. Another enemy to carrying each other's burdens is comparing yourself to other people. If we do that, we'll do just enough to feel as though we've done a little bit more than someone else. Or we might despair because we don't think we could ever do enough. We could never do as much as that other person. And so we might give up. Paul writes in verses 4 and 5, "Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself, without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load." We need to make the best use of the opportunities and abilities God has given us to carry other people's burdens, not squandering them or envying other people's opportunities and abilities. Then we can be satisfied in what we have done. It's in that sense that Paul uses the word pride here, not thinking how good we are, that the work that we do is all the Spirit's work within us. Paul is really talking about rejoicing in the work of the Spirit in us, what the Spirit has done through us. And when Paul says, "for each one should carry his own load," he's referring to something different to the burdens we must share in verse 2. He's saying that we are each accountable to God for how we use the gifts and opportunities he's given us. And Paul gives us two examples of carrying each other's burdens. The first is in verse 1. "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently." One of the burdens that we carry is the burden of continuing to disobey God. And we need each other to see where we sin. Then if we don't turn away from it or we become trapped in it, they can point it out to us. They can help us turn away from it, seek God's forgiveness, and put things right with other people. The point of doing this isn't to berate people or to condemn them. It is so that people would be restored to the way of life God has commanded, which is the best way for us to live. And so that we would be restored to right relationships with other people. And the way this is to be done is not harshly, but gently. And how we think of ourselves is key to doing this. At the second half of verse 1, "but watch yourself, or you also may be tempted." We need to remember that we are sinners ourselves, who have been forgiven as a free gift through Jesus' death on the cross. Then we won't think that we are better than others. We'll be gentle with them when we see them falling into sin. And this is a way of carrying another's burden. There is a cost involved, the initial cost of risking a friendship when you point out that someone has committed a sin and isn't doing anything about it or is trapped in it. Paul is not describing a hit-and-run approach here. There is an ongoing cost of taking time to understand why someone sins in a particular way so that they will change, of helping them to put things right. It can be messy. Who are the ones who should be doing this? Paul says, "you who are spiritual." That's not a special class of Christians within the church. That means every Christian. We can't ignore this as if it isn't our responsibility. Everyone who trusts in Christ has received the Holy Spirit. By saying, "you who are spiritual," Paul is saying that the Holy Spirit gives us the fruit of love and patience and gentleness that we need to do this work. Now at this time, people can't see the sins that we commit in the secrecy of our own homes. And there's a danger that those sins will grow unchecked and we'll miss out on the opportunity for restoration. So when you ring up people to check how they are, as well as asking about how they are physically and emotionally, whether there's anything they need, maybe also ask, "are there any particular sins that you're giving into at the moment?" And when all this is over, it's important that we have a community where we know each other well enough that there are people who can see when we are trapped in a particular sin, particular regular patterns of sin, who can bring it up with us and walk alongside us as we seek to change. So restoring people who are caught in sin is one example Paul gives of carrying each other's burdens. The other is supporting the teaching of God's word. Listen to verse 6. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. The teaching of God's word, whether in public like I'm doing now, or privately with individuals, is vitally important. It's how people receive eternal life. It's how people learn to serve one another. It's how we're helped to keep going when things are difficult as they are now. It is a massive responsibility to be faithful to God's word. And it's hard work to communicate God's word in a way that will connect with people and their lives and brings about change. One way people can carry that burden is by sharing the good things that they have received with those who teach the word. A few weeks into my time here, someone turned up on my doorstep with a brace of pheasant in their hands. If you've somehow heard about this service and you are taking part online, you know who you are. The children had great fun plucking the pheasant, and they were delicious. The pheasant, not the children. Look forward to what autumn brings. But more often than not, people give money. We don't pass a collection plate around church in the parish because we don't want people to feel under pressure to give. We don't want people to give out of a sense of obligation or guilt. The word for share that Paul uses is the word for having fellowship or partnership. We want people to give to express their fellowship or partnership with those who teach God's word out of gratitude for what they themselves have received from it. So Paul describes the burdens we must share. How are we going to keep doing that, especially when those burdens are heavy and we have to carry them for a long time? Well, secondly, Paul shows us the harvest we will reap. The harvest we will reap. Verses 7 to 10. Paul says that the choices we make now will determine our eternity. God will judge the world justly. We cannot escape it. Verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Now, in verse 8, Paul says that the world is divided into two kinds of farmer, and there are two harvests. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. We're all born with a sinful nature, that tendency to rebel against the God who made us. This is someone who continues to act on the desires of that nature. We saw a description of what that looks like in chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. It's worth looking at it again. We rebel against the God who made us. Our actions harm other people whom God has made. We abuse the good gifts that God has given us. And if we persist in that behaviour, then when God judges the world, we will face his just punishment forever. But there's another kind of farmer and another harvest. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. It's important to be clear here that we don't earn eternal life by pleasing the Spirit. When we trust in Christ, God accepts us through Jesus' death on the cross so that we receive eternal life. The Spirit gives us new life, and that is shown by living in a way that pleases him. And we saw what that looks like in chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. COVID-19 confronts us with the uncertainty of our lives and our own mortality, and it gives us the time to consider, when we may have never considered it before, what kind of farmer we are and what kind of harvest we will reap. Are we currently sowing to please our sinful nature so that we will reap destruction? Or have we put our trust in Christ so that we will receive eternal life, and now we are sowing to to please the Spirit. In our greenhouse, there are lots of trays of things that the children have planted. One of those trays contains courgette seeds, and a couple of them have germinated and have produced a couple of leaves. And the children go out to the greenhouse and water those seeds regularly, because they know that if they do, they will reap a harvest of courgettes. They don't give up. In verse 9, Paul writes, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." It's very easy to become weary in doing good at the moment. It's hard enough to adapt to working from home, or having the children at home, or struggling to get enough food. We don't feel like we have anything else left to give. We just focus on ourselves. But knowing that we will reap a harvest of eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ is what will motivate us to keep on giving ourselves and carrying each other's burdens. In verse 10, Paul concludes, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." There are plenty of opportunities at the moment to do good to all people, whether that's being a listening ear at the end of the phone, collecting shopping or medication for those who can't go out. You've heard this week about the need for volunteers at the food bank and contributions towards more hospital equipment. Generally, there are plenty of people who will care for those outside the church. And it's been wonderful to hear of people in the village helping others get their groceries and medication. But there is no one else to care particularly for those in the church and their specific needs. People naturally help members of their own family at first. We've seen in Galatians that if we trust in Jesus Christ, we are adopted as God's children. We are brothers and sisters. We are family. And without neglecting those outside the church, we have a particular responsibility to care for those in the church. So don't grow weary of helping each other, or of teaching your children at home, or of supporting other parents as they try and bring up their children in the faith by helping out with online alternatives to Sunday clubs. What will help us to keep carrying each other's burdens is remembering the harvest we will reap. We don't have to be spiritual Eddie Halls. We don't have to carry heavy burdens alone. Paul shows us the burdens we must share. God has given us each other. And what will help us to do that is the humility that comes from knowing that the standing we have before God is only because of what Christ has done for us. And to help us keep going, Paul shows us the harvest we will reap. If we trust in Christ, we will receive eternal life, and that will be shown in the way the Holy Spirit helps us to do those things which please Him. That will help us not to become weary in doing good to all, especially to our fellow believers. Let us pray. Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have given us each other to bear one another's burdens. We pray that You would keep us humble so that we don't think we're too important to do that. Please forgive us for those times where we haven't helped to bear each other's burdens. We praise You that if we trust in Christ, we know that we are going to reap a harvest of eternal life. And so we pray that You would help us not to grow weary in doing good to all. Show us the opportunities that we have. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.